The text is the gospel reading, Mark 1, 4 to 11. So, no epiphany? That's what you're thinking. We came to and went by January 6th and still no epiphany. Not so fast. The Eastern or Greek church celebrated the birth and baptism of Jesus on January 6th, calling it the Day of Light. The Western, the Latin church, the one we're descended from, emphasized epiphany on that day, and the baptism of Jesus fell from our calendar till around 1978. Well, just what are we celebrating then today? How about a short story, a literary trope, and a science experiment? First, the story. The conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, the Great Conjunction, was in my Google news feed as if it were news. The fact that it happens once every 20 years makes it as significant to me as a 17-year locust. Oh, sure, this is the closest in 400 years, but that some locust years, there are a lot more than others. But the internet generation loves whatever can be communicated by pictures and is sanctioned by science. So, this might be the very Star of Bethlehem. Jesus cannot be God in flesh and blood. Jesus cannot be born of a virgin. Jesus cannot be the sin bearer and ransom for all. But Jupiter and Saturn can do what Matthew says. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Stars, let alone conjunctions of planets, don't do that. In Arthur C. Clarke's story, the star is a better view. A star exploding in one galaxy destroys that civilization. That's the Star of Bethlehem, which leads the Magi to a whole nother reality. That's closer to the truth. Da Vinci's unfinished Adoration of the Magi shows Mary, Jesus, and the kneeling Magi in the foreground. In the background is the ruin of a pagan building. The pagan world is being supplanted by the Christian, which began with the Magi, the Gentiles, the pagan nations, coming and kneeling before Jesus. Fast forward 30 years in Jesus' life to his baptism. El Greco's painting, which you see in black and white on the bulletin cover, has agitated flame-like brushstrokes, which imbue the tumultuous moment of Christ's baptism with a shudder that reverberates through all creation. Think those two paintings are over the top? Not for this text. Matthew and Luke had the heavens being opened. They both are passive, which means we know from which side they were opened. God's. Mark, though, has the heavens tearing open. This is the atom splitting. This is the heavens rolling up like a scroll. In classical Greek, this phrase, schizomonas tos haranos, which is translated here, tearing open, referred to a divine announcement. The Star of Bethlehem led to the Lord's divine announcement. Do you hear what I hear? What I hear is the fifth business. That's a literary trope. It's the character who is neither ally nor nemesis, but he's the catalyst or means for the protagonist to come into his essence, or a clearer understanding that leads to the resolving of the plot. The fifth business is an odd character that shows up every so often in the story. He's the change agent that moves the plot. Now, could that be John? His jumping for joy in the womb when Mother Mary greets his mom really underlined who Jesus is, the Lord, Yahweh. Then he disappears into the wilderness until the Holy Spirit says, the word of the Lord came to John in the wilderness. The word of the Lord hadn't come to anyone for over 400 years. And his location, a desert region, his dress, like that of Elijah, his diet, minimalist at best, all testify that he means business. Could he be the fifth business? The change agent. Sure, it could be John. Some of his disciples thought so. Remember how they had a hard time letting go of John and going to whom he pointed? John could be the change agent, but Jesus is. He's the one the star leads to, and his birth brings paganism and scientism and modernism and postmodernism and all the other isms you can think of to their knees. Listen to this preaching by a 4th century church father, Ephraim the Syrian. He has Jesus saying, "By my baptism, the waters will be sanctified, receiving from me fire and the Holy Spirit. See the host of heaven hushed and still as the whole all-holy bridegroom goes down to the Jordan." Or perhaps you'd prefer the 4th century church father, Chrysostom. Jesus condescended to be baptized, not that his sins needed to be put aside, for he alone committed no sin, but that he should sanctify the waters of baptism so that one could trust that sins are washed away by it. The waters of baptism would never be able to wash away sins merely by believing unless the waters have been sanctified by the Lord's body touching them. Or how about the 3rd century church father, Gregory Thaumaturgus? He says, by sending the dove, the Father points out Jesus as the new Noah to pilot the world that had shipwrecked. Maybe, though, you're more comfortable with Luther. This is Luther. For here we see that Christ the Lord not only institutes baptism and commands it to be administered, but also receives it himself from his servant John and is immersed in the water, touching it with his holy body, not just to confirm baptism, but also to sanctify it and fill it with blessing. You should not separate your baptism from Christ's baptism. You must come with your baptism into Christ's baptism so that Christ's baptism is your baptism and your baptism Christ's baptism. So much Luther. Jesus is the change agent. He came into our flesh and blood to do what we can never do and to pay what we could never afford. He did this from womb to tomb as the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted so that by his stripes we are healed. But wait, there's even more. By doing this in our flesh and blood, he wins them for our flesh and blood. But now, how does he get that holiness, that forgiveness, that pleasure of the Father to us? Not by our first birth, but by our second. And it happened to every one of us. But we don't see the heavens ripped open. We don't see paganism falling. We don't hear the Father shouting from heaven, "That's my boy, that's my girl." But we can. Now, we had the short story, the star. We had the literary device of the fifth business. Now to the science experiment. In the 1950s, inversion goggles were invented that caused the wearer to see the world upside down. At first, the wearer was incredibly disoriented and even in crisis. But at some point in the days-long experiment, his visual field flipped over. And he saw the flipped-over world as normal. Luther himself said that Jesus coming to John to be baptized was marvelously backward. Do you see this? Do you see that in the baptism of our Lord, not only is the pagan, sinful, fallen world undone, but reality is redone? The text says, confessing their sins, they were baptized by John. No confession, no baptism. Whose sins does the sinless Jesus confess? Why, yours. And if you don't think that is a big, big deal, a total flipping of reality, it's to be feared you're not a Christian. Either you don't know how many great and ugly your sins and sinfulness are, or you don't know what a big deal it is for the sinless Son of God to stand there in the Jordan saying, "I did that evil thing. I had this disgusting thought. I doubted this. I didn't believe that. And I think God is unfair, mean, and has abandoned me." Yet, what happens? Even though the man Jesus confesses to the filth, the wickedness, and unbelief of an entire fallen world, where does the dove of the Holy Spirit land? on him the new Noah. See the full connection between Noah and Jesus. When Noah lets the dove out, it returns to him because, unlike the raven he had let out, doves neither eat nor land on dead things. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't land on dead, sinful things. But he can land on Jesus because, though confessing all of our sins, he's guilty of none. The early church had a versicle and a response that both confessed the flipped over world and the connection between Noah and Jesus. One part chanted of the congregation chanted Genesis 6:6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. The other part responded, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Recall this about the Greek preposition en, used by the Father from heaven. It means in or inside, not with Jesus, is God the Father well pleased. So the question is, are you inside Jesus or not? Where does your baptism place you? In the baptismal command, Jesus uses the Greek preposition eis, baptized into God the Father, baptized into God the Spirit, baptized into God the Son. So being baptized means you're in Christ. About 170 times, Paul trumpets how different things are in Christ. Listen to how he describes your new reality inside Christ. In him, says Paul, you're the righteousness of God. Redemption is yours inside Christ, says Paul. In Christ, you're dead to sin and alive to God. And haven't I quoted Romans 8:1 ad nauseum? There's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, God always, not sometimes, not most times, but always leads us in triumph, says Paul, 2 Corinthians 2:14. In Christ, we are new creations. Inside Christ, God sees us as holy and blameless. No wonder he bellows about how pleased he is from heaven. Where Christ is, there heaven stands open, and it will not close till the last day, said Luther. These are the goggles through which you are to view your world. Christ brings us into himself, and we see the fall of paganism, heaven being torn open, and the fifth business of Jesus changing everything in our life. We see, contrary to reason, contrary to logic, contrary to common sense, that we poor sinners who deserve nothing but wrath and damnation are not given these. Instead, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross is placed on our bodies, into our ears, and into our very mouths. And all of creation, angels and archangels too, must serve us in our salvation. But the devil, the world, and your own fallen flesh want to rip these goggles off your face and show you their reality. COVID, government, and media, they all try doing this the very same way. Trust men, not God. Trust science, not religion. Everywhere the faith of the 1973 Humanist Manifesto is being proclaimed. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. And the faith that in Christ God is on your side, you are his dear child, and he is your dear father, well, that's openly ridiculed. It always has been, and it will always be this way by those not wearing the goggles of baptism. Cain didn't, Saul didn't, Absalom didn't, Judas didn't, even Peter didn't for a while wear the goggles. We are always being tempted to remove them. What we're celebrating today is that we don't have to. And that's worth celebrating any and every day. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.